Thank you very much, Seth. Take your Bibles and join me in turning to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Just want to say a word about the John and Romans project. Now is the time to be working on that when it comes to the fundraising. If you have any questions, you can see the members of Missions Prayer Band for that. But I've encouraged them yesterday in Preacher Boys class just to do a little solicitation in the dorm and encourage you to consider contacting your home pastor about the opportunity to support this. You know, if there's, I think there's probably roughly $3,000 to be raised. So if enough people jumped in on that, enough churches got involved, many hands make for light work. So now is the time to be working on that. And I just want to say this. One of the best ways, I think, to, I mean, you can send a letter, and that letter has its rightful place, but I found that letters really do much better when you have personal contact. And, you know, you say, hey, let me just tell you a little bit about this burden. This letter spells that out. And but do that now, because it'll be here before we know it in April, and the time will be there. And you certainly don't want to take up a collection amongst a bunch of poor college students, right, to do that. So that'll be, you say, I think by the time April comes, I'll be broke when I'm paying my school bill. But if you'll do that and give what you can, too. My wife and I are going to pray about what to give towards that project. It's always a really energetic time on campus. I remember several years ago we did 50,000, I think it was, and it was like a marathon. And like some people going to a ball game, people had that attitude about putting together the Bible. I thought that was pretty neat. And just keep your hands out of the blades, all right? And or you know what happens to you. You lose one. So, all right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to begin reading. You know, actually, I'm just going to read one verse and we'll go back and read more. Verse number 16. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16. It says, at my first answer, this is Paul writing, by the way, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Through the years in ministry, I've experienced a lot of different emotions. I've experienced happiness. That's a great emotion to experience, isn't it? When you go to your box, you find a paper that says, hey, somebody put $1,000 on your school bill. You say, that's a great thing. For us as a faculty and staff, when somebody sits in your office and they say, I've got this problem and I don't know what to do. Now, there are some of you that come to our office, and when you do, you're not asking us really for our opinion or our counsel. You're asking us to stroke you and say, well, you know, you just keep doing the best you can. But there are some times you don't need a pat on the back. There are other times we need to tell you some difficult things. And I'm going to tell you, it's a delight when you tell a person a difficult thing and they walk out of your office with their tail between their legs. But 2 weeks later, you see them and they're like, I'm so, oh, I just, my life's a lot better because I decided to follow the Bible. That's a great thing. I wish I could tell you that every emotion you experience in the ministry is positive. But it's not. There are times in my life when it feels like you pour your heart out to somebody. I mean, you basically pull it out of your chest, set it on the table and say, here it is, please, please, please. Don't do this. And they nod at you and say, boy, thank you so much for your counsel. And they walk out and they just take your name and drag it through the mud. And sometimes you're going to feel like Paul when he said, the more I love you, the less I be loved. And I hope now you get a taste of some of that. You need to. If you've not experienced some of the emotion of the ministry now, listen, now's the time to just get your feet wet. Know what it's like when you pour your life into some kid in the youth group and then he doesn't come back to church Wednesday after Wednesday and you're like, what in the world is happening? I'm telling you, you need to experience that now. Don't think that it's just something you need to go into culture shock and experience years later. Well, that time will come. No, you ought to be ministering right now, and as a result, you'll experience some of the same things Paul did. But I want to talk to you about an emotion, if I could say it that way. I don't know that it's really the best description of the word. But an emotion that sometimes you feel, you will go through it in life, not just in life, but also in ministry. And I believe Paul relates to it in the one verse that we've read. I'm not talking about being happy. I'm not talking about being sad. I'm not talking about feeling unappreciated this morning. But Paul knew what it was like to be alone. Have you ever felt alone? The amazing thing about being feeling alone is you can feel alone in a crowd of people. You can be in an entire auditorium filled with people that want to serve God, and yet in the depths of your heart feel alone, like you're stranded on an island. Now in Paul's situation, there was nobody around him when the world would say he needed someone the most. If there was ever a time that Paul could use an advocate, if there was ever a time Paul could use an encouraging word, it was when he stood before the authorities, but everyone had forsaken him. But I want to talk to you this morning about an emotion of the ministry that many people don't like to talk about, and it's the emotion, it's the idea of being alone. Do you know if you serve the Lord and you stand for what is right, there will be periods of your life, listen to me, where you will be alone. There's going to be sections of your life that you've already experienced where maybe even as you were in college, you say, I just sense that I am alone. Nobody else understands my situation. There's nobody else that is around. And so I just simply want to go through the passage this morning. I want you to see what made Paul feel alone and understand that some of the very same influences that put him at a forsaken place in his life are some of the very same things that some of you are experiencing right now. But had the Apostle Paul let the success of his ministry be determined by who was around him and how many people were around him, he never would have succeeded. Many times we teach that there is strength in numbers. And while that may be a good maxim to press forward in a lot of areas of life, may I say in ministry there is strength in one with a capital O. And in a time in your life when you're losing friendships because of your growth towards God, at a time in your life where people are antagonistic towards you because you're preparing for the ministry, the answer is for you to stand now, even if it leaves you all by your lonesome. But I want to ask you, why did Paul, why had all of them forsaken him? He was a pretty good guy. It's not like this guy didn't bathe or wear deodorant. Of course, if you're in prison back in Roman days, maybe he didn't. I mean, this was a guy with a good personality. If anybody was a giver, if anybody was a thanker, it was the Apostle Paul. Why was he alone? Well, look with me back in verse number 10. Paul writes and he says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas, you don't find very much about him, but what you do find is three times in the Scripture he's mentioned. One time, Paul is writing a book, and he said, "By the way, Demas is with me. We send greetings." It was a corporate type thing. Here was a man that, I mean, Paul felt comfortable enough to say, "Hey, Demas and I both say howdy." In another portion, Demas is mentioned as a co-laborer. I mean, somebody that rubbed shoulders with him. But this time, we find him as a deserter. You know what you're going to find? If you're willing to stand for God, listen to me, there will be some friends lost along the way. What was it in Demas' life that caused him to forsake Paul? It was a desire, it was a love for this present world. Now, young people, I believe the devil is the enemy of this place, and I believe the devil wants to destroy every one of you, but I'm going to tell you of an enemy that I believe sometimes has a stronger hold on our hearts than we care to realize, and that's this present world. It's one thing to stand up in chapel and sing, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." But it's another thing in life to let go of things that are temporal to gain the eternal. You see, the world has always had a strong allure. I don't care whether it was smartphones in 2017 or base entertainment in New Testament times. The world always has a way of making things look good. And it still does it today. And by the way, the world screams to you and says, "Why in the world will you subject yourself to poverty as a college student?" Well, the devil doesn't tell you there's a lot of other poor college students in America that aren't training for the ministry. Why subject yourself to a dead-end mentality where you're going to get out of here, you're going to go to a church? It's not like you can be a corporate executive. Why in the world would you want to do that? Not only does the devil say that, but the world says it. And as I've said to numerous people over the last few months, young people, when it comes to guiding your life, you make sure that God's voice is the loudest. The world has always had a strong pull. Listen, there are people in the 20 years that I've been affiliated with Ambassador Baptist College. Listen to me. There have been people that I've seen come and people that I've seen go. Not because they didn't have ability, not because they did not have a calling, but because they loved this present world. I remember the first time in my life really starting to sense that aloneness. I was in high school, public high school. My junior high years were filled with just wanting to be like everybody else and go home at night. The Spirit of God convict me and just being torn to shreds. But during my high school years, when God finally helped me to get a backbone, I find that maybe for some of you, listen, one of the reasons you're here is not just to grow in Bible knowledge, but to grow a backbone like a log. But you know, I noticed that when that growth started happening, other things started happening. When I wanted to go forward, those who wanted to go backwards said, "See you." I'd love to tell you, when that happens in your life, boy, you go home at night, you sit in your room and say, "Well, praise God, I lost 3 more friends today, but I'm standing for God." No, I'm going to tell you, our human nature sometimes looks around and pity begins to fill our hearts. And we think to ourselves, "Is this really worth it?" It's a devastating thing when you have a coworker all of a sudden just go in an opposite direction. That's exactly what happened to Paul. And you know what, young people? There are times in your life when you stand for what is right. Sometimes people will go away from you. They'll go do their own thing. And as a result, it causes you to feel a sense of loneliness. I'm talking to some of you right now in some of your friendships. You're finding that very process taking place. Were those that love the world. I may be talking about those that loved the Lord at one time. And now you see the love of the world grabbing their hearts, and all of a sudden you begin to feel this sense of loneliness. Long time before you were ever born, Paul knew what that felt like. Some people will leave you because they love the world. Verse number 11, or verse number 10 at the end of it, it says, "Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." Hey, I'm here to tell you, not everybody that leaves you alone, not everybody's gone out into the world. Sometimes people are serving God in other places. Titus wasn't in a bar or playing the lottery. He was somewhere else. He was doing the work of God. See, you're at a point in your life right now, and we encourage you to develop great friendships. We encourage you to develop those friendships that are going to help you. But it's not that those would be a crutch to you where those are your sole dependence. There's coming a day you walk down this aisle for the last time. You get your diploma. You get your cap and gown. You turn the tassel. And even with the advent of social media and technology, you lose a sense of communication one to another, and now all of a sudden you find yourself somewhere out west. You find yourself on a mission field. You find yourself in an area where there's not some Christians Anonymous support group patting you on the back. Your friends, they're doing the will of God, but yet you still feel alone. Notice with me in verse number 14. He says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." You know, there's some people that don't like what you're doing. Did you know that? This last Saturday, I watched excerpts what I could until I was so grieved I didn't realize how bad it would be of a march that took place on Washington, D.C. And you know what bothered me about that march? I'll tell you what bothered me about that march was the anti-God, anti-truth bent as much of it. It amazes me the entertainment world can get up and talk about burning down the White House and many people applaud. And by the way, if you listen to anything by that woman, listen, you need to really evaluate yourself. You say, well, that's not preaching. No, I think it is. Don't love this present world. You'd do much better to get your morals from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John than Madonna. But I'm telling you, as I watched until the cursing came to such that I didn't even want to hear it anymore, you know, I'm in an environment where I realize there are people, listen to me, I'm not being an extremist here, there are people that would love to see places like this shut down. There'd be people that'd love to see your mouths closed. I'm not saying that it's the huge contingent, but there's a good number out there. And I believe it's growing, and you'll meet sometimes people that will do things just to spite you. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. I'm not talking about an occasional joke. I mean with spite, just trying to tear you down. But I find it interesting at the end of verse 14, Paul makes a passing statement that all of us need to remember. He said, the Lord reward him according to his works. You say, there are some people against me, and I'm plotting how I can just really get the upper hand. I'll tell you, life's a lot simpler when you let the Lord do the rewarding. Because He doesn't even have to think. He knows what's best. And I'm going to tell you, when God brings the hammer down, He brings it down a lot better than you ever could. Some of you have opposition. Ministry is not necessarily a calling that everybody's flocking to go into, but when you get into it, you'll discern the deeper you go, the more opposition that you experience. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. There are some of you this morning, it may be this sense of loneliness has come in your life because you faced such great opposition. For others of you, it may be because friends that were once here are no longer here. They're serving the Lord, but you're in a place where you're by yourself. Others of you, listen, you've had people, you find a constant shedding of your life. As you grow in Christ, friends are forsaking you. Why? Because they love this present world more than the God that you love. And when that happens, it's like a perfect storm. I'll tell you, if there's anything that I would ever want to recite in the same little context, it would not be what Paul did here. By the way, Demas, he left me, forsook me, all of my preaching friends are gone, and this guy is really giving me a hard time, and now I go to court and nobody's with me. Now, that's disastrous, isn't it? Some of you say, I'd have a mental meltdown at that point. But in verse 16, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. You know, I want you to get good theology. I want you to get good practical teaching. But you know, you need a backbone that says, I'm willing to stand for God no matter who else is around. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some of you, when you're in a college environment, you do well. But when you go home, you do terrible. And the reason why that is you let your life be governed by the crowd that you're with rather than the God that saved you. This is a proving ground for you. This is a time in your life where you need to grow and you need to step forward. Because I'm telling you, as you step out for God, there will be times where there is nobody else around. And it'll scare you to death if you're not careful. When I was 16 years old, I'm ashamed to admit this, especially with the DA who was here this morning, but I'd gotten my first speeding ticket. I remember going to the courtroom that day. I had a friend of mine with myself, and the time came that I was supposed to step in. It was a crowded area. I'll never forget it. I was in that courtroom by myself. First time in my life I'd ever been before a judge. First time in my life I'd ever looked at a group of people that I did not know, and I am there and they're talking about all these legal terms. I have no clue. I am scared to death. But there's times in life where you get isolated where, I mean, you just feel like, boy, nobody else is around. That fear runs through your heart. Paul said that all men forsook me. But notice the end of verse 16. He said, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. There's an element of our society today that believes it's okay to be mad at the world and to blame everybody else. There's an element of society today, and even within our churches sometimes, we propagate the idea that, listen, it's okay for you to be angry and upset at other people. Listen, at this time in his life where good people were serving God, bad people had forsaken him, Paul said, I pray that it not be laid to their charge. He wasn't going to go into this situation having a bunch of handles of bitterness towards everybody else. But Paul knew what it was like to be alone. But as I close this morning, I want you to understand there's a difference between being alone and lonely. Some of you say, you're playing word semantics like my roommate does. I say happiness, he says joy, and we squabble all night long. But there really is a difference between being alone and lonely. And it's found in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You're alone when there's no human being around you, but you're lonely when you think God has forsaken you. There'll be times in your life where you will be alone, but you never have a reason to be lonely. You want to know a great irony? We could go around, now couldn't we? We could quote this verse. Bible college students are good at this. We go around and spout off these verses that we memorize. Somebody comes up to you and says, well, you know, I'm having trouble with this specific thing that I've been seeing. We say, oh, well, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer, and pat them on the back. I dare say every one of us walk out of this room, we'd say, oh, the Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, the Lord, that's the verse I know. You know, it's one thing to know that verse. It's another thing to really know it in the depths of your heart. Not a single one of us in this room has a right to walk around like God's forsaken us. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. I can't see Him. I like things that I can see. That's a shame, but humanly speaking, I like things that I can see. I don't like cash that is promised. I like cash that is there. You know, I don't like, you know, you can talk all day about, you know, we've promised this and we've promised that. But if I can't see it, my security is somewhat shaken. But the real test of one of the real tests of our faith is whether or not we believe that God is so real, even when we can't see Him, we know that He is there. I want you to think of who all was standing against Paul during this time. The Roman government? Listen, he's on the FBI most wanted list. Rabble rouser. We were talking today in evangelist class. The book of Acts. You know what that fellow did? Every time he came to a synagogue, he went into it as his custom and reasoned with them. Not with guys that agreed with him, but guys that disagreed with him. Rebel rouser. The Roman government was standing against him. His ministry friends had forsook him. And now Alexander the coppersmith trying to make his life miserable. He stands before a judge. There's nobody else there. But Paul knew that there was somebody with him greater than any human friend he could ever have. The Lord stood with him. I remember when I was in high school, junior high, I should say, we had to ride the bus with high schoolers in public school. I sometimes question the wisdom of some of these public school administrators. It's a wonder I didn't get killed. Seventh grader having PE with ninth graders, that was horrible. I remember one time in seventh grade, having PE with a bunch of ninth graders, these guys were shaving, and I'd never even dreamed of what facial hair was about. I'll never forget, there was a guy, his name was Mark Moore. I'll never forget him. Mark was black-headed with blue eyes, played on the football team, and always came with growth on his face. You know, he never shaved, hardly. Or if he did, he just once a month, seemed like. But it was just, like, gross. And the guy was as mean as a snake. I can still remember being assigned with him in PE. We were doing a weightlifting unit. And I remember we had to go around to the different stations, and they assigned me with Mark. I'll never forget it. Here I had what seemed like 1,000 pounds on this bar, and Mark saying, if you don't lift that, I'm gonna kill you. You know, I didn't have a lot of muscle, but I had a lot of adrenaline, and that really helped me out. But I can still remember, I would get on the school bus, and man, I dreaded it. Because by the time I got on, the seats about 3/4 of the way back were open, and it was because Mark was there. I hated it. I'd get on there, try to mind my own business, and the next thing I know, I've got spit wads, or I've had language used, and I'm like, this is just a horrible way to live. But I'll never forget when some of the routes switched up. And a guy that I had known years ago, his name was David. David was a wrestler. And I mean, he was just like built, just stocky. And David was my friend as a kid. My dad, mom and dad used to take me over to his neck of the woods, and we would play as boys. And now all of a sudden we're reunited in school. But I'm going to tell you, when David got switched to my bus route, things changed. I go back there, and Mark starts cutting a fit, and David says, hey, leave that boy alone. Well, Mark didn't mouth off to him at all, because he knew he'd give him a run for his money. But I'm going to tell you, once I experienced a great relief when I realized, here's a man that is standing for me. Thank God. That was a very real feeling to me, but I'm going to tell you, even more real than that has been times in my life where all of a sudden you feel like the oppression is so tough and tight, you feel like there's no way out, and all of a sudden God reminds you, I'm here. And then it says, and strengthen me. You ever been weak? I'm not talking about physically. You ever been weak emotionally? I know you guys don't want to admit that. Some of you still speak in the teenage language. How are you doing? You know, you're tough. I'm going to tell you, there are times you get worn down emotionally. There are times that you get worn down spiritually. And I don't believe this strength was just like Popeye eating his spinach and busting a muscle out of his sleeve. I'm telling you, there comes a point in your life when you all of a sudden get your eyes off of your physical surroundings and you become aware of the spiritual reality around you. That, listen to me, no amount of money can give you that energy and peace and comfort. But right now, there's some of you, you feel alone. You say, well, these people are gone. I've lost these friends. Hey, listen to me. Can I respectfully just tell you something? Be quiet. You're not the first one. You won't be the last one to ever feel that way. But if you dwell on being alone, if you're not careful, you'll be just like Demas before it's over with. Because all of a sudden your love for God wanes and your love for the world grows, and it puts you in the same direction. Listen, if Paul could stand at such a point in his life alone with God's help, listen to me, you can too. You're going to experience a lot of emotions. Some of you are like, I already have. You know, I hear college students use the word drama. Oh, that's a lot of emotion, isn't it? Probably a lot of it bad, but I'm telling you, there's going to be real life drama that you experience, but you've got to keep the same mindset as the Apostle Paul. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known. When you leave this place, I want you to have a lot of friends. If you don't, it's your fault. But when you leave this place, I want you to know that you have a friend. And now you may feel alone, but don't you dare be lonely, because He is there. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, Lord, I pray that You'll bless our service. as we close, I pray for the needs of our students. I pray that, God, You'd prepare them. And Lord, that You would use this time in their lives to grow them. I pray for those that may feel a certain way right now, that Your presence and, Lord, Your power and strength would help them during this critical time. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.